Now, welcome your host, the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones.
Lopez, who is running for Congress. Her actual website is lunalopezforcongress.com. Again, L-U-N-A, lopezforcongress.com. So how I want to kick this off, I want to kick this off with a little audio clip. And this is, we're past the date, meaning January the 6th, but I feel like the energy is still with us. All right, so I'm going to play this, and when we come back, we're going to welcome her and also see what Judge Brown has to say. He is on the line.
All right. Thank you so much for coming out. This is super important, and it's dear to my heart as well. And in the words of the great Moses speaking to Pharaoh in the name of the Almighty Creator, let my people go. Let these patriots free. It is an atrocity what has happened. The Democrats give so much support to their followers and encourage them to riot and to be violent, and they get rewarded. Here we have patriots who wanted to do nothing but support their president, who stood for honesty, and the Democrats have made an example of what they will do to anybody who stands in their way. So you can expect, if you stand for that, to be come after, but stand strong, especially now because the ones imprisoned need you, they need to see you doing that as well. We should have every Republican on the Senate and Congress and Florida State fighting for these people sitting in prison.
Amen.
Every single one of them, and it's a shame that we don't hear about it more often from them. Yeah, nothing, absolutely nothing. And on that topic, the congressman sitting in my district, he spoke on this matter. The one I'm challenging, who's a Republican in name only. He said that this was an attack and that anybody there on the 6th should have been held accountable. And he has not said one word about our prisoners. Not one word. And if I was in Congress today, I would be giving it my number one priority to get them out. I would visit them myself. And if they're still in prison when I am win this election, I will make it my number one priority to get them out. And I won't discuss anything else until I get the support behind me. Because I hear you. And I hear them. And I saw the videos of the family in pain because of this. And I feel that pain. And I'm going to take that with me, and I'm not going to forget. I'm running for Congress in Florida's District 4. That's Jacksonville area, Nassau, Duval, and St. John's County. Elect me, and I promise you, we'll get this guy out who's not paying attention, and I will work as hard as I can to free these men. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you for listening. I love all of you, and God bless.
All right, guys, again, that was Luna Lopez, who is running for Congress. Let's welcome her to the show. Hi.
Hey. Hey there. How are you doing?
Hey. I am blessed and favored. Thank you so much.
Good.
You listened to the audio. You listened to the audio I played regarding your sentiments. Prior to January the 6th, I'm not exactly sure when it was recorded. Forgive me for that. I normally take notes. But how do you feel about the audio today? It's January the 21st, 2022. So what are your feelings?
Yeah, so that was actually July 10th, and that was I was standing on the steps of the Florida State Capitol in Tallahassee. They weren't too amused by us, I will say that. But, you know, here we are back in January, a year from it, and my sentiments are the same. I was just on the phone this morning, actually, with someone very important, and we were discussing exactly this. So it's interesting that you played this clip. Funny how the universe works, right? God kind of lines things up because this was really important for me to discuss again, because the representative, as I said in the audio, the representative we have, John Rutherford, he hasn't said a word about what's happening to these people that have been basically held as prisoners of war, political war. You know, we're not necessarily on front lines like that with each other, but it's a political war. It's a different style of war. And so this is about as brutal as they can get without, you know, physical war on our streets. You know, they're taking these men and they have targeted certain individuals strategically and they've put them in prison. And, you know, the ones in prison here from Florida, I can tell you, I've talked to the families let me not say families. I've been around some of the families and spoke to the family of one of the prisoners, and his account of what's happening to him in prison is pretty much across the board. They're denying these men basic human civil rights. They're not getting their medication, some of which is heart medication. When one of the gentlemen that's in prison, you know, demanded for his medicine, the nurse at the prison just slams the door and tells them that, you know, this is what they deserve. And I find it astonishing how the people are really just jumping on this train about what happened on January 6th and just going with it, calling it this, you know, massively violent event. And yes, they did, you know, there were a lot of people who trespassed, but, you know, there was the true victim in all of this was Ashley Babbitt. She was the one who was shot and killed by a congressional representative security, and the government has done everything they can to protect who that person was. We don't know who that person was, and they won't discuss it. And she was unarmed. And, you know, we have a mass amount of Americans forgetting that this is not the first time the Capitol has been marched on. And maybe this is crazy to say, but our tax dollars fund that place, paid for that place, keep those lights on. We have every right to be sitting there hearing what legislation is going on. We have a right to hear what's going on behind closed doors, what's happening on the Congress floor, especially regarding confirming an election that most people, half the country, were questioning. So does it bother me that they trespassed onto the properties? Not really. What I don't encourage is violence, of course, but that wasn't a violent attack, and any violence that did happen didn't come from those people demanding election integrity. The violence came from the government. And if you pay attention to all the details in that event, what was being set up days beforehand, it looked like they knew that something was going to happen. And, you know, when I talk to people who've been there, who were there, you know, there were people in that crowd that were not patriots, that were instigating and confronting and, you know, trying to instigate violence. So, you know, the one thing I urge people to understand is, you know, yes, this is America. Yes, this is the light of the world. Don't think for one second, oh, you know, the government would never do something like that, plant people to start a riot. If you look at what happened over with Ukraine and Russia, you know, it's on Netflix. You can go right now and look at the documentary on there. Back in 2012, they had, you know, black hats planted in those protesters' crowds. The police themselves put them in there to give them an excuse to attack the protesters. If it can happen in one area, it can happen in another, you know, and we need to start critically thinking. We need to start questioning the things that we see. I mean, it's not normal to have such heavily polarized opinions of an event that happened where so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were there, and yet somehow this entire narrative is opposite of what so many people say really happened. It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, going back to the prisoners that are there, it's astonishing to me that we have all these Republican officials that claim that they believe the election was stolen, yet they're doing nothing to get these targeted protesters out of jail where they're being beaten, they're being food, meals withheld, running water withheld, they're being put in dark rooms, they're being treated like treasonous traitors. And all they were doing was demanding election integrity in a peaceful way. And that narrative about Trump inciting violence, you know, you can go read the scripts. There's plenty of scripts that people have laid out, you know, quoting him. And I just refuse to have that conversation until the Democrats explain to me why they allow Maxine Waters literally to attack people, you know. So I think we need to totally revamp the representation we have in the White House, because we need people who are not going to stay loyal to their buddies, and we need people who are going to stay loyal to the people and fight the fight that actually cause you to get bloody, and they don't want to do it, you know.
Totally. And I want to thank you guys, or thank you, and remind our listeners to please, so you can make an informed decision, please visit her website, Luna Lopez for Congress, Luna Lopez for Congress. The petition is there. Don't forget, go there. If you love everything that you hear and support this, please make sure that you sign the petition. It is on her website. Just a quick reminder as to her issues. CRT has no place in the school. CRT is just a distraction to keep your attention away from the fact that our school systems are failing our children. She fights against corruption. Corruption, again, she vows that corruption happening on the local level and national level, she'll use her congressional abilities to light a fire under those bellies of those who are pushing socialist leftist agendas and mishandling the taxpayers' dollars. She believes in the Second Amendment. She believes in nationwide concealed carry and increasing the availability of free and low-cost firearms, safety training, and situational awareness. So she opposes open border immigration. She believes that anyone seeking refuge in the U.S., should stay but not illegally cross our borders, and also constitutionalism. She holds to the constitutional standard of minimal government interference in the individual's natural rights and in the state's right to govern themselves. So these are the points that were listed on your website. Any other talking points we need to address before I toss it over to Judge Chabrown?
Yeah, I need to update my website and add a good section on our educational system, which is the biggest travesty we have going on, because all of the problems that we have facing us as far as the infiltration of communism and socialism stems from our educational system. Every problem we have, you can, whether it's COVID, whether it's the economy, whether it's you know, CRT, LGBTQ, all of these psychological and all these other deep psychological issues we have going on, like the inability to distinguish between fact and opinion and science and theory, is all of it. It all goes back to low educational quality. So.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So Judge Chabrown heard all of that. Take it from here. Yes. Welcome. Welcome, Judge. How are you feeling?
Hello. And Congresswoman Lopez, glad to have you back again. Now, I heard all
Thank
of
you.
That. And we also have Wallace Redd, who has me on every Sunday on a show he has here local to Memphis. So he's in the wings there, too. He'd like to talk to you. I am most disturbed by what I would call disparate treatment. We looked at a year and a half of efforts to overthrow the Trump administration, wherein BLM, Antifa, and every left-wing idiot was out there advocating and actually trying to burn down billions of dollars of black businesses in black communities in metropolitan urban areas of the United States, where Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who was not going to and from a session of Congress, but was traveling around the country rabble-rousing, was advocating lawlessness and personal violence against her perceived political opposition. And that is wrong, because that shows the American public that there is an imbalance in how the law is applied based on your political outlook. And what we are having right now that is most frightening is not the connection with communism. It is the ghost-like connection with the National Socialist Workers Party. For those of you who don't know what the National Socialist Workers Party stands for, the German acronym is N-A-Z-I. In other words, the Nazis were the German National Socialist Workers Party, and they engaged in this kind of conduct of suppression of free speech, of taking over the media. And the United States of America has a unique ancient in all of the world, and that is for most of 240 years, it has had a very strong and free press. And the First Amendment guarantees the right to peaceably assemble and petition the government for redress of grievance. And the Supreme Court has long held that that petition does not have to be a formal written instrument. It can be a gathering, a protest. And that's exactly what was going on. You had about 180 people committed essentially misdemeanor trespass, which in a number of instances has been ramped up to felony conspiracy under American law to go after them. Nobody has said anything about grinning CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, etc., as they grinned away, making light of and approving the violence that you saw in the urban areas for a year and a half preceding January 6th. There were big questions about whether the election was stolen. One has only to go back to 2000 with the Gore-Bush thing in Florida, your state, to see the mess that was put out in the press one way or the other about it. And those were legitimate expressions of opinions and beliefs that people in America had. Now, all of a sudden, it's supposed to be somehow or another criminal for somebody to not be confident in what is going on with an election. And as a matter of fact, we already have something on the books from 1877, Congresswoman, when you get there, called the Confidence in Election Act, which is from 45 years ago. And it was an act that said when there is a lack of national confidence in the outcome of a federal election, then you shall have 5 members of the U.S. Supreme Court, including the Chief Justice, assembled, 5 congressmen, 5 senators, with the majority of the 3 to 2 to be selected by whomever has the majority in that particular chamber of Congress, and participate in an expedited review and audit of the election, which is to be held in 10 days or longer as may be necessary to inspire public confidence. That's still been on the books. There's been no attack to it, and that's essentially all that was being asked. Some American citizens, including some who were in Congress at the time, wanted to make sure that that was evoked. And it looked like the timing of events was such to prevent that from coming to the head. Now, that just smells to high heavens. And one other thing, I like your beliefs that you state, But I wish you would also state that there are opinions, because I have seen all sorts of idiots talk about flat world and how you'll fall off the edge of the earth if you go far enough. That's belief. Or some claiming that space aliens visited Earth a quarter of a million years ago and in spaceships brought black folk from Africa to the Americas, which is absolutely ridiculous. But an opinion is subject to modification, and your opinion is based on firm logic, rationality, information, data analysis, and empirical research. I approve of what you have been saying. And somebody needs to go out and have the, excuse the term, balls, or let's put it this way, the ovaries in your case, gonads, or whatever it may be, to stand up to this mess. And I talk about the emasculation of the country all the time. And even though masculinity stems from the masculine gender, which is in a state of confusion these days, from men, the principles involved can also be embraced by women. And some of those principles are stand up for what's right, be willing to defend what's right, be willing to sacrifice for what's right, be willing to sustain those others who are attempting to establish that, even if you don't necessarily agree with them immediately. So these principles need to be brought back into the fore rather than this emotional morass, this horrible garbage that we hear so much of about people and their specious beliefs, because they think somebody should have the untrammeled license, not right, but license to go out and do whatever in the hell they want to do, however irresponsible the execution of those desires may be. Whether we're talking about destruction of manhood, womanhood, childhood, the family, decency and propriety in society, or we're talking about something else. And I am just absolutely astonished that this garbage that got taken over starting 50-some years ago, that now calls itself a free press in America, has been just chiming in with what was an antecedent by the National Socialist Workers Party, a.k.a. the Nazis, back in the late 1920s, finally cementing itself in 1933. And plunging the world into a sordid series of combats that were known as World War II. This is just absolutely ridiculous. And to see Maxine Waters grin and giggle and try to deny with a straight face, which was all over the media, if we can rely on it, but we hear the recordations when she says, spit on them if they've got a mega hat, break their car windows if they've got a Pence Trump bumper sticker. I mean, even if you don't like them, please, that's a little bit out of line, and that's advocating disruption of public peace, dignity, and order, which is, in fact, criminal. And they're doing this, keeping these people in isolation. They're torturing them. They are doing things that are actually prohibited by various covenants through such as Geneva Convention when it comes to treating prisoners, and these are American citizens. And after all they were doing is petitioning the government for redress of grievance. And we would have to sit there and make a mockery of every damn civil rights demonstration that took place over the last 100, 150 years in the United States of America if we relied upon the same theories. That is just disgraceful that this can be put out there by these charlatans that are trying to propagandize the country for some sick ideas where you get people away from social, political, legal, and economic justice, to get people away from righteousness, fairness, fundamental operation of decency, equity, and justice, and get into a fascist state. Now, excuse me for pontificating, but this gets me angry, and I've devoted most of my adult life to doing something about this. and I cannot resist speaking out, and I will support you until hell warms up, freezes over, and the ice cube melt and refreeze if you are going to get out and do what you say you're going to do. And I think that is a good thing. Now, excuse me, I'll let it go back over to you.
Oh, no, you're fine. I could honestly listen to you talk for hours. That's very easy to do because you're a vault of information that could easily be studied for hours. So I appreciate all of your viewpoints. I mean, and you definitely know more about history and longitudinal.
You'll probably know more than I will at this grade group, but since I'm at least twice your age, and that twice the age has been as an adult rather than as 15 years, 16 years of adulthood after childhood, it just comes with the territory. It's called experience. And half the experience is having seen it so many damn times, you get half bored and you could be laid back and cool about it. Or when you need to be right in there getting down with it, you can do it because you've done it before. So you'll get there, but I like what you say, and you speak
well.
You know,
well, thank you. I do have the same desires as you in terms of I can't sit back and just watch all this happen because I know what the ramifications are. And, you know, I come from a unique scenario where I don't know if I talked about this last Friday, but I grew up in a high control religion, and I say that phrase instead of saying cult because I don't want to be disrespectful to any of my family that is still in it, but it's a very high control religion, and what I saw happening in that state to keep you from questioning the doctrine, to keep you trapped in it, is the same thing I see happening in government today. And it took a certain awakening to even notice it. And then it took, you know, you talk about those brass gonads. It took that for me to actually get out of it, which took a long period of my life. So this is not the first time I've had to fight for what's right and try to help others from being affected by something that's going to destroy their lives. So, you know, when it comes to the ridicule I get politically or the shaming, it's I've already, you know, hardened my knuckles in the past going through ostracism and shunning through that. And, you know, and so I don't think that there could be anything at this point that could ever stop me from standing up for what's right. And I think with how faceted all of this is, how everything's tied together, how deep it is, you know, when you talk about what's righteous, that's really what it's about. You know, you don't have to be a Bible reader or a Quran reader or whatever religion you are to see that this is a fight between good and evil. And really, at the end of the day, what we should all be standing up for, no matter what side of the party line you're on, which, by the way, I don't even believe in party lines, but it is what it is. But if no matter what side of the line you're on, if you just stand up for what is right and what is good, and I distinguish between those two because they aren't the same, then we'll be okay. But then the question comes into, okay, well, what is right and what is good? And as long as you follow and have a universal compass of morals, follow the universal code of virtues, then it becomes much easier to know exactly where to stake your piece lay your piece out, you know, on the table in the poker game, so to speak. So it's just, you know, what that entails sometimes, though, is sacrifice, because like you touched on, what you might necessarily want isn't necessarily the right thing. And sometimes getting those two things, the head and the heart can have arguments all day long, but you got to trust your gut at the end of the day. And that's kind of where the universal code of virtue resides. It's woven into you. So when I hit a point where I'm like, ugh, I don't really like this, I have to sit and think, but is it right? Or I really like this point of view, but should I really set my life in that direction? What is truly right? What will be the best outcome for the people as a whole? Because you can sit and argue little niche things, but if we don't sit and think about how important our psychological health is in all of this, the psychological attack going on, that is where we're going to end up just, you know, killing ourselves, quite literally, you know. So that has to be protected. Our psychological health right now is so bad.
It's another thing. Americans, black, white, brown, red, yellow, young, old, male, female, have no cause, no purpose that they can articulate or point at. And humans work best when they have a purpose, when they have a perceived need to exist, when they see something that they must accomplish, whether it is daylight at the end of a tunnel or their duty to clear the flames and smoke out of the tunnel so those they are responsible for can get to the daylight at its end. And we don't have that because too often everything is based on a hedonistic urge. I want what I want just because I think I'm entitled to it. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to sweat for it. I don't even have to try for it. I don't have to win the race. I get a participation ribbon. I don't have to win the election. The teacher appoints me to be class president for a week. You see, this kind of thing goes on. I don't have to do homework because it may be difficult. I am a minority, so some idiot governor in Oregon signs a law saying reading and math are not supposed to be required to get a high school diploma because it may have a negative impact on my slavish outlook on life because I happen to be some minority and I can't do as well as others. Well, what the hell's happened with the rest of the country's history where black folk, brown folk, yellow folk, red folk, and those and white folk who have come back around and got brown or whatever in the devil color scheme we may have managed to achieve. What about all of that? What do you want to do? Make a lie a reality where being alive on the planet Earth in the Sol system in this galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is a dangerous thing because there are lots of dangerous things that can take life, all life, quickly and nastily.
Yeah.
So what do we call what we have? Where in the devil do we get the entitlement when we can't appoint to anything? We've got six huge mass extinction events that are known in this planet's history. We've had ice ages. We've had plagues. We've had all sorts of things that have gone wrong even with humanity. And yet we've got something where a hit series is, what is this crap? Laws where you've got some women fantasizing that they're drug dealers, where they dress up looking like clowns, but everybody's supposed to say, oh, wow, we have to emulate this. We want to tune in so we can be psychologically crippled as this subconsciously seeps into our innermost thoughts. And it starts guiding us because we have no purpose that we can point to that's a valid one because we haven't thought of it, but we want to deal with this ideation here of fantasy that is a negative so we can go fixate on that and become sick puppies. See, that's what we do to ourselves.
Yeah. You know,
and one thing, let me give you a compliment. You and your husband make a fine power-looking couple, and I would love for you to usurp AOC as the pretty one in the halls of Congress so that people can listen to some woman with good sense and beauty rather than just looking, oh, she looks cute. I know she sounds like a dumbass fool, but she looks cute. Well, this one sounds wise. We can listen to that one, and she looks better.
Ted, you know, you kind of took the words. I was texting that to her. I told her to use her Latin fire, you know, because people will follow you because you're beautiful. But also, too, that fire and passion comes out when she feels like, you know, you're treading on her territory. And her points are very clear, very, very clear. But I feel her, definitely, as well as see her.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I joked back with
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I was joking back with Valerie about that when she said fire when treading on my territory. I said that's childhood trauma. I said I'll work on that. No, I just you know, you grow up in a world where, and it's still happening, you know, where when you want to voice your critical thinking and then you're immediately shut down, it kind of develops a behavior where you're like, okay, I'm either going to crawl into a shell and never do it again, or I'm going to claw my way out of this shell and I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm heard. So my bad.
But well, you got it.
Thank you.
One thing, let me say this. You also are one of those rare people who has a unique perspective. You've actually seen intimately in a family situation, in a close up front and personal situation, a whole lot of things that have to do with repression. I don't want to talk about your family's religion, but yes, there is that. And candor and freedom of speech demand me to say something about it. Sometimes we have to remember this as a cardinal phrase. It's not anything that I created. It's simply that the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions, and today's political parties illustrate this. So does mainstream media. They take too many opportunities to lead us to hell with good intentions. And something
I think
needs
it was
to be
Jesus
done.
Himself that said, broad and spacious is the road, is the path leading to destruction, and many are on it. Narrow and cramped is the road leading to life, which few will walk. And that statement there has never rung so true for me for so many years and so many eras of my life. When you see people choosing what's easier, what sounds good and what feels good, and it's just leading to this dead end of no life. And that's what I see. You brought up about how people want everything handed to them. You know, it's like they don't realize how this narrative that you were talking about with, oh, math and reading is racist because they can't do any better, which I can speak on. Actually, I wanted to mention one thing is I'm not Hispanic. I'm only Hispanic by marriage. So, you know, that's my husband. I grew up, you know, as a black minority. And the one thing that's so alarming to me, I didn't finish that sentence, in a rural area with a bunch of, you know, country white folks. One thing that's so alarming to me is like hearing that narrative, you don't see how they're just positioning themselves. They don't see how the elites that are pushing that narrative are positioning themselves to stay the elites by telling you something that makes you feel like you don't have to do any more hard work. You don't have to do this anymore. Don't worry about it. You can't do it. It's okay. We'll take it away from you. So then we just get dumber and dumber. And, you know, they're doing it so that way we can't gauge the value of anything anymore. Because if you can't carry there's a meme I posted today. It says, once you carry your own water, you'll learn the value of every drop. If you aren't doing that, you have no way of gauging the value of what they say, their society versus yours. So you're being put on a chemical drip in a hospital bed to keep you in la-la land because you're unable to read and write, so you're told.
Amen.
And the fact that they're accepting this narrative, what, think more about yourselves. Stop giving them the power. Take it back and say, no, I demand that you teach my children in this minority community quality education and able to read and write and do math. And above that, get into Ivy League schools just like anybody else with privilege has. It's backwards to me. I will never, ever accept dumbing down the educational system. It's absurd.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know I added, per your request, I opened up Mr. Red's mic. So 901-644, your mic is live. And please mute and unmute if you've got background noise because I didn't check. 901-644.
Okay.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you, Valerie.
You're live with Ms. Lopez. Hi. And Justia Brown.
Hi.
Thank
you very much.
My friend Wallace Red. My good friend Wallace Red. He's always
thank
got
you,
me
Judge.
On Sunday mornings in Memphis.
Oh,
thank
Judge,
you very
I wanted
much.
To let you know, too, she's got exactly 15 minutes and she's got to go.
Well, you
okay.
got to go, Ms. Lopez, because you're being about the business of getting in a situation to deal with the governance of this country. And we need it. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by the Hurricane Reports, merchandise, and more.